Welcome back to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness on WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen. You left your teens behind years, maybe even decades ago. So why are you still getting pimples on your face? If you're old enough to be eligible for AARP, shouldn't that make you ineligible for acne?
Adult acne is a very real problem, and studies have shown the condition persists among certain individuals well into their 30s, 40s, and even 50s. For many women, the onset of menopause can be a trigger. Here to discuss adult acne and what causes it is Dr. Emmy Graber, assistant professor of dermatology at the Boston University School of Medicine and Boston Medical Center. Dr. Graber is the director of BU's Cosmetic and Laser Center. Welcome, Dr. Graber. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Most of us experienced skin breakouts when we were growing up, especially during adolescence, but some people never outgrew their skin problems. What percentage of the population is affected by adult acne, and what causes it?
That's a really great question, and we are finding more and more adults coming into the office saying that they are suffering from acne. And acne, it's very common to persist into one's 20s. About 50% of patients that are in their 20s do have acne. And even as we reach up to age 50 or older, there still are some patients with acne. And in that age group, 50 and older, about 15% of people have acne.
What about the role of hormones in developing acne? And what about family history? And is there a genetic predisposition?
Yes, absolutely. There is a genetic predisposition, and we do think that most adult acne is somewhat due to hormones acting on the skin. And for reasons we don't understand, in certain people, their hormones attack the oil glands in the skin more so than other people.
So what are the skin types that are most likely to have persistent acne even into adulthood?
Yes, and that's a problem. Patients ask me that all the time. Teenagers say, do you know if I'm going to have this when I'm adult? And it's really difficult to say. I tell them that it is unpredictable. However, about 10% of teenagers with acne will go on to have adult acne. We just can't say who that patient might be.
So when you mentioned the oil glands, is it true that people that know their skin type to they have dry skin, are they less likely to develop a problem with acne?
Well, acne is actually a very complex disorder, and we don't understand entirely who's going to develop acne and why. So we do see acne in patients with dry skin. However, we do see it more commonly in patients with oily skin.
We hear discussions, commercials tell us about the T-zone. Is that a real thing? What are the areas that are most likely to be acne prone?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. It is often seen in the T-zone in the early teenage or pre-teenage years. And why that is the case, we don't know. Interestingly, adult women who develop acne often have the acne in the lower part of their face, on the chin, going up the jawline, and sometimes on the upper part of the neck. So as one gets older, the location of the acne does tend to change.
Does diet play a role in causing breakouts? I know at one time it was thought chocolate and other types of junk food cause skin flare-ups. Is there a connection? Is that scientifically proven?
Well, it's not scientifically proven yet, although we do suspect that there are some foods that might be causing breakouts for some patients. Particularly, there's some evidence now that high glycemic index foods, such as those white breads and carbohydrates, that they may be contributing to acne. Another thought that's being investigated is perhaps dairy products, particularly that skim milk could be contributing to acne. But we don't know for sure yet.
So do you ever counsel your patients to do one of those elimination diets where they get rid of a lot of the foods you just mentioned and then kind of keep track like a food diary, gradually add it in and see if it affects their face? Would that ever show anything?
Yes, sometimes I will do that when patients don't seem to be responding to other medications. A patient has has to be careful, though, because obviously if they limit all dairy from their diet, they're not going to be getting the important calcium that they need. So I do have patients who are very ambitious and want to do dietary changes. I have them consult with a nutritionist first.
Does stress play a role? Because I'm always convinced that if I'm anxious or I've got a big event coming up, something happens to my skin.
For sure. We do know that stress can cause acne, or it can worsen pre-existing acne. That we do know.
What is it? What's the connection? You know, the mind-body connection. What actually is taking place that would cause that?
Yeah, well, when we get stressed, we produce more of a hormone called cortisol. And cortisol acts on the oil glands and the base layer of the skin to cause some acne-type lesion.
So now we have a basic understanding of acne and who's affected by it and some of the possible causes. Let's move on to ways that we can control it. Before we go to see the dermatologist, are there skin and hair products that people should avoid? Are there ways to wash the face? What type of advice do you give? And we're not talking about a severe case right now. We're talking about the person that's dealing with it but doesn't need to see a dermatologist just yet. What type of skin cleansers should they use and not use? What's your advice?
Well, I think the biggest mistake that people make when they notice a few blemishes is that they'll start to wash their face more frequently because they think it's dirt is contributing to the problem. And actually, studies show that it is ideal for patients with acne to wash their face twice a day, morning and night. So there are also different types of cleansers that someone who is acne-prone or just starting to develop a few blemishes can use. And one ingredient in cleansers that can be very helpful is something called benzoyl peroxide. And this is available in certain acne washes that are in every drugstore and are easy to find. So I would recommend starting with a wash containing benzoyl peroxide. There are also washes that contain salicylic acid, and those can be helpful for acne as well.
What if you have a clear complexion but just want to do the most you can to prevent any blemishes? Can that harm you if you're using some of those products with those chemicals, or is it pretty safe for any skin type?
Well, it is safe. The only thing that may happen, especially in someone who is prone to dry skin, is that it may make their skin a bit drier. So sometimes for prevention, I will recommend that patients use those washes maybe only twice a week or three times a week and not every day.
At what point should somebody make the decision, I need to see a dermatologist? Chronic acne, ongoing acne?
Well, if it's not responding to the treatments that they can get at the drugstore, they should definitely see a dermatologist. And also, if the acne is very bothering to someone, if they don't want to leave the house because they're getting blemishes or don't want to go to work, then it's definitely important to see a dermatologist right away.
Once people have exhausted all of these things that we're discussing right now, are there I've read about some new, I'd call them high-tech solutions using lasers. Is that showing promise to treat people with severe acne that aren't responding to those other treatments?
Yes, absolutely. There are some new options in the laser category that patients can choose. The lasers are effective, but they're not a cure. So it's something that one would have to continue to do. But that is another route to go if someone has exhausted all other options.
Dr. Emmy Graber, Assistant Professor of Dermatology at the Boston University School of Medicine and Boston Medical Center. Dr. Graber is the Director of BU's Cosmetic and Laser Center. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.